This morning, I want to talk to you about trusting God once again, and I've endeavored in the last few weeks to deal with the subject of can we trust God, and we have involved that in several different aspects of what I believe are very practical situations in our life as believers. One is, can we trust God with our pain? Can we trust God with our place? Can we trust God with our plans? Can we trust God with our portion? And this morning I want to talk about, can you trust God, or can we trust God with our power, with your power? I did say your power. I didn't say God's power. I know this is kind of confusing because we know that we do not have any power. But what is so amazing is that God has given us power. He's given that in the form of His faith as a gift of His Holy Spirit. If you are a believer, you have power. The question is, can you trust God with it? In other words, how are we reacting to dealing with situations in our life that God has called us to do? I mean, are we able? Are we able to serve God? And even though we feel inadequate in that, I think it's very important that we look at our hearts and ask God to search us and find out if there's some reason we're not trusting God with the power He's given us. And again, it's not about success. See, what it's about is about faithfulness. Faithfulness. Are we faithful? And so, as we read these verses together, someone has said this is some of their very favorite verses in the Bible. It will be to you, probably. I know it is to me. And the reason it is because all of us in our life, you know, we have aspirations, we have dreams, so to speak. And what happens is we go along in life, most of the time, or we make resolutions and we come short of that. We find out we don't have the ability to do that. And so if we're not careful, we kind of find out we kind of fall in our complacency. We get lazy in life and then we sort of, you know, kind of flounder around. I believe there's lots of believers that have been saved by God's grace and the truth has made them free and yet are not living to the fullness of their capacity of enjoying God in this life. And the reason is the devil has encumbered us so with burdens and situations that seem to just hold us back. And we just can't embrace the freedom that we have in Christ. We need to remember that Jesus says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it fully. Fully. And that's what Jesus means. And so may the Lord help us to embrace that. And again, trust is a hard deal. It is not easy to trust God. And especially, and this is where the litmus test of our relationship to Jesus Christ really comes to grips with reality, is this. Can we trust God when we just don't understand anything? And that takes innate spiritual power, okay? All right, let's look at some verses from Isaiah chapter 40. We could go in a lot of places with this. These are some most powerful power verses about God and what He's to be to us and what that means to us in response as far as power and strength. Verse 25 of Isaiah 40, we'll start there. To whom then will ye liken me? This is God. Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. As we look at these verses in the context of thinking about, can we trust God with our power? The first point I want to make is this, and I think it's clearly said here, is that God is the source of our power. Now, we got to have power. I mean, the new birth gives us power. God takes the initiative, but right then and there, we have the power, the ability. And because God has given us His Spirit, we do not have to sin. We do not have to take that drink. We do not have to take that drug. We do not have to envy and lust. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to worry. We do all those things, most of us, but here's the deal. We have power not to do it. The question is, do we believe God? If we believe God and really trusted God in all things, no telling what God would do in our life as far as power goes. I want you to realize that God is your source of power. And so if you're going to trust your power, which comes from God, it's just the same as can you trust God? Because it's what God has given you. And it's the power that we're to use for His glory to do what He's called us to do. Don't you know that we have been partakers, made partakers of His image, of His very being? In other words, we have Christ's likeness. And so as we think about God being the source, it's so important as we deal with situations in life that we don't understand, that hurt, that just take us away. And to know that and bless God in that is to know that He is the source of that power. I want to say something to you I want you to think about when you go home. If you're doing anything, and you're doing it well, even, and you don't have to depend on God to do it, you need to quit. You need to stop doing it because it's vanity. That's what it is. Everything we do should be done as if we depend on God. And that is because He's the source of our power. You see, it's not about physical strength. It's about strength of the inner man or woman to deal with life. It's kind of like this. You can take a magnet. I've done this before. You can take a magnet and say hold it under a table and put a piece of metal on the top of the table and you move that magnet under the table. And what happens? It moves the magnet or the piece of metal on the top of the table. You can't see that power. In fact, I have done that with my children and grandchildren over the years sometime, and I don't remember what the magnet looked like. I don't remember how big it was. I don't remember what the metal looked like. But I remember the power. And it's like this. When you and I surrender our life to God and we trust God for His power, we are like that. We won't even be noticed ourselves. What people will notice is the power within you. Because God gets the glory for it, see? You know what? That is a blessing of life. We don't feel it, but that's the movement of our lives. And what a blessing to know that God is the source of all power. I want you to look at an Old Testament. I was just reading this morning, not in study. You don't really have to turn there, but you might want to. I don't know. You sure can. In Nehemiah, you know, when they were building the wall, think about this. The wall of Jerusalem was destroyed. And Nehemiah sees that, and it breaks his heart. God gave him that impression that it hurt him. Now, he felt, I'm sure, pretty helpless. I'm sure humanly said, I just don't have the power to do it. I mean, it was a formidable task. I want you to know that just maybe God is calling you to do something that you don't feel like you're up to doing. You don't feel like you're fit. You don't feel like you're worthy. You don't feel like you have the ability. But I want you to know something, gentlemen and ladies. That is exactly the people God loves. That is the fact that the people God uses. God does not give us overcoming life. God gives us life as we overcome. You understand that? That's what faith is. The Red Sea never opened till they put their foot in the water. Peter never walked on the water till he got out of the boat. You and I have to understand this. There's a lots of fears out there, but there's nothing bigger than God. Whatever you're facing, I want you to know this. God has got you, and that makes you got it, okay? You've got this because God's got you. But don't try to depend on yourself or someone else. I was talking about Nehemiah. This is the verse that caught me this morning. In the very second chapter, here's Nehemiah trying to deal with something that people were laughing at. It was just too hard, too big a job, too big a project. Miles of wall destroyed. How are these feeble Jews going to do it? They were laughed at. So what does he do? In verse 4 of chapter 2, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? He goes to the king. Notice what Nehemiah does. So I prayed to the God of heaven. See, that's what going to God and trusting him for our power is. You know what our power is? Prayer. Why? Because prayer is what connects us to the power source. There are times when we need to understand we need a battery recharging spiritually. And we have to be still and know that he's our God. Because we don't have that power within us. We have a power source that leaks down because we're still human. We're still in these flesh bodies and we're weak. So what Nehemiah does, he goes to the king to ask for help, but he first thing he does is pray to God. And you know the story of Nehemiah, if you know how the Jews built the wall back in 52 days. What a miracle. Why? Because the people had a mind to work. What I'm talking about this morning is if you can trust God with your power, then you gotta work. You gotta work. You gotta work not for your salvation, but because God has saved you by his grace. Hey, this situation about being lazy in our faith, about situation and just, well, God is sovereign, then I don't have to do anything. Yes, you do. You are required to be responsible for the power God has given you to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be sure, and I can be sure, that God will place us in situations that will bow us and cause us to know that only God can help us. When you come to the end of yourself, when you think that it's all over, it's just the time, it's just beginning. I'm here to tell you that God is the source of power. You stay with him. You hook up to him. You believe him. I'm not talking about feeling like it. I'm talking about just saying, that's what God says, I believe it, and that's the way it is. You remember Jesus talked to a person about faith, his own disciples, and they couldn't believe they could be healed. And Jesus says, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you'd make a mountain move. I'm going to tell you what. If you got a lot of problems, you got a lot of faith. You don't have many problems, you don't have much faith. God knows how to match them up. He is our power source. But here's the thing. What I'm talking about does not make sense. Do not ever try to confuse God's working in your life with common sense. Humanly, it don't work. Now, there's a place for common sense, but it's not in our salvation, our spiritual, because I'm going to tell you some scriptures in a minute that says when we're weak is when we're strong. That don't make sense. Don't make a whole lot of sense that God sent his only begotten son to a cross to die so horrifically painful for sinners like me and you. But he did that. And how in the world can God use evil and bad things and hurt in our lives to make us better Christians? But he does it. And he does it all the time. But you know, there was another case in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus was called on for healing on the Sabbath day. But that's not really the point of the story I wanted to go to. But what happened? This man has a withered hand. Affliction. And Jesus said, you know how he heals him? He says, stretch forth your withered hand. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to heal you and then you stretch. He says, stretch it while it's withered. You bring your life to God broken at all. I'm going to tell you, friends, you give your life to Jesus Christ and he will give it back to you. And he'll give it to you in a way that you will appreciate life and be able to have the strength of life and the fullness of life. He will give you grace to live and he'll give you grace to die when that time comes. God is a God that has promised us that he will supply all our need. And if you don't think you need power, you need to take another look at your need list. What we need is God. What we need is God's power. And we have that in Christ. Doesn't the scripture say, through him we can do all things. Without him we can do nothing. It's true. What a blessing that is. What a joy that is. So God is the source. Nehemiah prayed to God, and then everything starts happening. Did you hear the other day, I did, I bet you did, this tragic, horrific murder in Minnesota in this Catholic during the Mass. This distorted, deranged, transgender person goes in there and starts killing little children. And then somebody has the audacity to say, prayer is not enough. Did you hear that? I remember hearing that. Prayer is enough. Now, a typical person that does not know God will probably say that. You know why prayer is enough? Prayer is powerful. But if you get on your knees of heart, ever how that position might be, and you beg God and you trust God and you pray, God will work, see? When you work your prayer to God and God gives you grace to do that, see, you don't just pray because you just think it's a good thing to do. You do it because God has prompted you to pray. God is the source. Secondly, grace is sufficient. Now, we see in this episode in scripture in Isaiah 40, mention of Jacob. Jacob is a figure of the believer's life. Jacob, I believe, is one of the greatest typical types of salvation by grace for anybody I know. Jacob had a love, but Esau had a hated. Jacob was a hard man to love. How he disobeyed God. But God loved him anyway. I'm the same way. God loves the sinner, and we need to appreciate that. But I want you to understand this with me. God gives us power through grace too. And he gives us power through grace because we're saved by grace through faith. See, you and I are created unto what? Good works. Good works. You're going to have good works, and you're going to have power to do them. Where are you going to get that from? God, okay? God's not going to do them for you. So we need to be about the ability God's given us and to do everything that God has called us to do with fervency and rejoicing and with a spirit of saying, God, I'm going to take my orders from you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you. And you know what? God is going to give us power to do it. In the Apostle Paul's life, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at these verses for a moment. 2 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul is dealing with a problem. And he don't know if he's got power to deal with it. How about you? Now, he's not dealing with a big problem. It's a thorn. It's not a tree. Okay? But I want you to know this. Probably in your hearts and mine today, there's some little things going on in your life that bothers you right now. What happens? These little things, these little foxes, so to speak, they do destroy the vine. They keep us from having the joy. They can hold us back. There's something, maybe somebody said something to you that kind of bothers you, upsets you, offended you. I mean, you know, there's people sitting here in this congregation. Maybe there's people here you're envious of. You wish your life would be like what theirs appears to be. When you really got to know them, their life really isn't like what you think anyway. I'm trying to tell you this to set a discourse here that this situation in life, these little problems, that's what weakens us. These things that you worry about, that's what saps your strength. You know, the Apostle Paul has a thorn. I mean, something bothers him. What's bothering you? I mean, what did Paul do? He prayed about it. He said, God, take it away from me. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Now, I invite you to do. Because he's the one that can do it. But God doesn't always do what we want him to do. But he always does what's right. You hear me? See, once we understand that we're going to accept God's plan for our life, then we can go ahead and trust him in whatever happens. Should we not have a problem in our life? Why not? Jesus died on the cross. By the way, the tragedy of Christ on the cross is very focal in our lives if we're going to have power, because that's where our strength comes from, the power of the cross. At his weakest moment, he becomes strongest. The Apostle Paul prayed thrice and God didn't take it away. But what happened? Notice what he says in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now look where the power comes from. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Did you know that your strength, your power is because of the cross you have to bear, the burdens of your life. That is what's strengthening to you. And it's the little things. You know, I was sitting on the porch the other day with my six-month-old grandson, swinging him in the porch. And he went to sleep, and I would not put him down. I would not. I had lots of things I liked to be doing, but there was nothing more important than swinging him in that swing. You ever had a little baby sleep on your chest? Man, that's feeling good. But here's the thing. Even our most serene moments can be broken with some sort of little problem. Down in Arcola in the Flatwoods, we got yellow flies, deer flies. One of them started flying around. And that thing bit me on my finger before I got to him. And I was afraid he'd bite my grandson. It just interrupted my peace. Now, I don't know what it has to do necessarily with your life or mine, but I can bet it might be a yellow fly. But there's something flies around you that might be some doubt, some fear. Hey, do not fear the unknown before a known God. You understand that? You don't have to fear the unknown because not God knows about it. That's your power, you see. You know, God's grace is sufficient. But you know when it's given? He doesn't give us strength today for tomorrow. See, you might be thinking, well, how in the world am I going to deal with this? How in the world am I going to make? But you know what he's going to do? When you get to that point, he's going to give you strength. He's going to give you power. You don't know where it's going from. It's going to be like that magnet on the table. You're going to see the movement of God. I'm going to tell you this, my friends. God does more underneath than he does up above. God's doing more in this room right now, in the lives and the hearts of you people, than he's doing in the pews. That's the power of God. That's the strength that God gives. And just maybe, listen to me, your greatest failure, what you think you just have done wrong, and there's lots of things in my life I can think of, and you probably can too, but they might be the very things God has used to strengthen. I know in preaching, I have had sermons, this might be one of them, I don't know, where I have just felt so flat and so undone and so scattered, and get out to the back of the church and somebody tell me that's the best sermon they've ever heard. I don't know where it comes from, but I do. I do, because to the extent that we depend upon ourselves and our abilities, what happens, we leave God and we get away from our source. And you can't enjoy the things God's given you, because God's given us the power to enjoy them. You can have everything in the world. You can have all the money and all the help, but if God hasn't given you the grace of acknowledging him in it and have the peace and joy, what good is anything without God? I mean, it'd be like a plane without wings or a train without tracks. Your life and mine, whatever God, if God's not in it, in your marriage, in your relationship, in your work, then it's not going to amount to much. It's not. That's why you see so many people in the world, you got to be doing something. I got to have something. I got to be somebody. And all the time, the peace that God has given us is the power, the innate power of just understanding that we have a God that loves us and that has promised never to forsake us and that will give us power. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You believe it? If I come to your house and I say, "Look here, your house is on fire," are you going to believe me? Now, if I'm telling the truth, there's a dire consequence to not believing. God has given us the ability to believe, even by his grace. So, what have I said? Can we trust God with our power? So God is the source of power. But here's the deal. He's given that to you. Did you know that you are to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a way? That's what the body of Christ is about. So what are we going to say? Well, I can't do it, Lord. No, God's going to give you power to do it. Do you understand this? If God's blessed you with children, God has given you the power to lead those children. Not only to have them for the woman in childbirth, but all through life. I remember Judge Faye Martin telling me one time during her judgeship, she says, "Brother Randy, what concerns me the most is the power that the Lord has vested in me, the power that I have in people's lives." I never forgot her saying that. She said, "This humbles me and makes me want to depend on him for the decisions I make." Because she says, "You see, I have the power given to me by the court system or whatever to deal with life and to pronounce these sentences. But you have power because Christ has given you a witness." No, you can't make people learn, but you can teach. You can teach. I can't save people, but I can preach. And the only way it's going to amount to anything is trusting God with the power that He's given. I remember coming to this church many years ago, and I was following some of the greatest preachers, and I still respect them so much. And I knew, I said, I won't be here long, maybe a year or two. And I tried to be like Brother Bill and Brother George and Brother Shelton for a while. I found I can't be that way. I got to be like Randy. And you got to be what God has called you to be. Because God has given you the power and the witness to be your who you are. God does not change our personalities. But He gives us the power to use our lives and our brokenness in powerful ways for His glory and to help others. Then the last thing, and I won't stay here long, and I can't come back tonight, I know. But notice from our text in Isaiah, I'll try to close quickly, but you got to know these verses that you're probably your favorite. I haven't even touched, but that is the power God gives us when we weak. Isaiah 40, He giveth power to the faint in verse 29. So God is the source of our power. God's grace is sufficient for every situation. I want you to know this. There's absolutely nothing you cannot do through Christ, because nothing is too hard for God. Now, you can quibble about it and you can pout, but I'm going to tell you this. I believe this with all my heart, and I've been guilty of it. I think the worst sin is self-pity. Self-pity. You know, you ever had these pity parties? You know, Oh gosh, this happened to me. This all's going on. You know why a self-pity is the worst sin, in my opinion? It's because what it does, it takes God off the throne of our heart and puts our selfishness there, ourself. Because see, we got to understand, this stuff's about God. That's what life is. God is the source of our life. Physically and spiritually. He just said He keeps the stars. He's named all the stars by name. He keeps them up there. He sustains it all. I said this in our first meeting, I think, on this subject, that the fact that you're sitting here today, breathing and alive, is only and only because of the will of God. God has willed that you be alive. Now, what are we going to do? I mean, God's given us a day. What we need to do is give it back to Him by living it in a fervent attitude of dependency on Him. I do not see how a marriage can make it without depending on God. I do not. I do not see how people can make it in this world without God. I pray for my family and every one of them, and I pray for you, that the Holy Spirit would be so much a part of your life, because that is the power. Because God says, not by my word, but by my spirit, I will do these things. So grace is sufficient for every situation. Sufficient, but also groans or strengthening. You know, we get weary. People get weary following Jesus. People join the church and they think they are been born again, and they have this emotional flush. So they come and join the church, and then they find out that they still have to deal with problems in life. That they still feel the weakness in life. God has not zapped them and gave them a certain profound sainthood. They still have to struggle. And they get weary. And so that's where we need to understand that God says, you just go on, because is there a time, listen to me, is there a time in my life and yours where we're not weak? Is there a time in your life where you're really not weak? I don't think there is. So somebody said the other Sunday night, living, Brother Randy, seems like something all the time. There's a problem every time. And that's true. And that's going to be like that. And you can expect We're going to get weaker and weaker and lower until Jesus comes back. But what happens in the believer's life is when we get stronger. Because when we're weak, we're strong. But let's keep our consecration to God. That is utmost for our power. You remember Samson, don't you? I mean, that's a strong man physically. Nobody could handle him. Multitudes couldn't. Until he defied his Nazarite consecration to God. And he let a woman talk him into cutting his hair. He lost his power. He wasn't so strong. You know, I've often said a woman can talk a man into anything. I believe that. I do. Samson laid his head down in her lap, and she got everything she wanted. And he ended up with his eyes punched out, led around like a little baby. What we need to stay with God on this stuff in our life. Don't let anything hook you. Shake it off. Stay with God. He's the source. Look you into me, the scripture says, and be ye saved, all you ends of the earth. God's talking to you. God's giving you that initiative that you take that power God has given you and use it for his glory. You know the thing about running and not being weary. There's a part of our life, I tried to preach on that a while back. We need to slow down. In our world today, we need to slow our pace. But when it comes to spiritual things, we need to speed it up. You got to run to not be weary. You don't halfway serve God. When Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and you will find rest for your souls, I believe he said, you run to me. You don't walk around. Samuel, when he found out that Eli was calling him, he ran when he woke up. He said, here I am, Lord. What do you want? And if you tell me to do something, I just kind of act like I'll do it tomorrow. You know, you have me strength. I don't know about you, but what I've found in my older age, I don't do things as quick as I used to. I don't have the energy I used to. I mean, it's a fight. I'm serious. I mean, I want to move. I want to get out and work. And I don't feel like it. But here's the deal is, I got to get out there. I got to start studying on Monday morning. I don't know what I'm going to preach. I don't know what I'm going to say. I feel so bad about what I've already said. But here's what I found. Once you start doing it, God will give you strength. Does that make sense? It don't have to make sense. God don't make sense lots of times. I'm going to tell you what you trust him. I guarantee you this. He that spared not his own son has promised to freely give us all things. And that includes power. You trust him. It'll be there when you need it. Let's bow. Lord, we thank you for power. We know it's yours. Forgive us, Lord, for trusting in our own power. We've tried that before, and we see how much a mess of life we can make. We thank you for loving weaklings like us. We thank you, Lord, for the strife and struggle you bring into our lives to all make us run to you for help. Thank you for the power of prayer and for the channel you've given us of making a way of escape. Help us be reminded, Lord, that you have to make the way to escape. We don't make our own. And that's through Christ, who's the way, the truth, and the life to you. May we forever serve him and run to him, Lord, and whatever you call him, you've made us. We thank you for even having anything to do with us. Loving us so faithfully and unconditionally. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.